Welcome back to another edition of the Shepherd's Voice podcast with Archbishop George J. Lucas. Archbishop, good to be with you.
Thank you. It's good to be with you always.
I was really edified to be able to attend an event you presided at the other day, which was prayer and witness for unity. It was hosted by the four downtown parishes here in Omaha. Can you just tell us a little bit, how did that come together? What was the gist of that event? Mm-hmm.
I was happy to be invited to participate. So I wish I could say it was my idea, but it wasn't. Several of the pastors came up with it. We've come through a few months of what we might call kind of civil upset and disturbance in a lot of ways. Some of it has to do with COVID, some to do with events that have highlighted the sad ongoing existence of racism in our country. And there are many forces then that kind of pull us apart and highlight our differences. So the pastors of these four parishes thought it would be good to come together and pray and invite whoever might want to come. We prayed evening prayer and then heard very powerful witnesses from four laypersons, a member of each of the parishes. There were a good number of people who responded to the invitation to come. And I think we were all happy to be there and felt, I would say, instructed and encouraged by what we heard from the witnesses.
It was beautiful, yeah. I for the most part, we could only see people's eyes. But but after the fact, there was a lot of interaction. There was a kind of a palpable joy. Mm-hmm. In the church there, and it was edifying to see the various pastors with the people they had invited to come, because mm-hmm. they invited each. You mentioned those witnesses; the pastors had invited those people from their communities to come, and seeing the exchange and the sort of the delighted surprise of I didn't know that person's story. You know, that person mm-hmm. lives right next to me in a sense, and I didn't know that story. I heard that sort of thing being shared.
Yeah, they asked each of the four to talk about how they might have experienced racism in their own life, and so they talked about that in very powerfully and in different ways. But then they also responded to the question of where do they see hope. That was the question that they were asked to address, but also talked about how their faith has informed their lives and, in a sense, empowered them to continue to grow into the people they feel called to be, but also empowered them to reach for hope and to express it to others.
That was a beautiful moment of prayer, for sure. And you offered a homily during Vespers, and you mentioned that Pope Francis kind of tried to scoop us a little bit in having this unity event, and we'd been planning it right around the time that the new encyclical came out.
Right. So he wasn't able to be with us, but he sent us a letter. he sent it to everybody, of course, but it's a beautiful and powerful encyclical, and it was very much in harmony with the theme of our evening, even with the brief scripture reading that we had already, that was already part of the Liturgy of the Hours for the evening. So in my own homily, I felt I couldn't do any better really than draw attention to the new encyclical of the mm-hmm. Holy Father and encourage us to read it, because he really is addressing not exactly what we were looking at, but certainly the issue of the brokenness in our world and the division that we're experiencing in so many ways all across the planet. He's our universal pastor, and all that has his attention and the attention of his heart, and we might say the attention of his desire that we move away from a place of division, often based on a lack of human respect, to a place where we, as the title of the encyclical invites, that we can see one another as brothers and sisters.
It's beautiful. The reading of an encyclical can be a challenge for people. They're not exactly light reading most of the time. I think this is no different. I don't know the exact page count. I should have grabbed that, but it's not brief. It's not a brief document.
It's not brief. God bless Pope Francis. I think he's kind of long-winded. But he cares deeply mm-hmm. about this subject and wants to share his thoughts and his teaching. it's not simply the musings of a pope who sees some problems in the world, but he's teaches us in the name and the person of Jesus himself. This has been labeled a social encyclical, that we are not to take it that it's sort of a discourse on manners or something, some light topic like that of nice things that we ought to do. But the Holy Father is applying the teachings, the doctrine of the Church, and a particularly central doctrine on the dignity of the human person that is God-given. He's asking us, kind of guiding us to apply that to the situation in which we find ourselves. And that situation is characterized in many ways by social unrest and social discord.
So then, you know, the reading of this, that was one of the questions I was going to ask. Just what is the benefit of sitting down and plowing through an encyclical or giving the time to I dare say, meditate on what our universal pastor is offering us?
So the encyclical is an important method of the Pope teaching, and he doesn't do it that way very often. We should then take it seriously and, of course, take it to heart. There are summaries that we can read, and there are commentators that are talking about various aspects of the encyclical. And those are fine to read. In some ways, to read a summary, you get a sense of what it's about, and then you can sort of wade into it a little bit more. It's not hard for most of us to understand, but to sit still long enough to, you wouldn't read it in one sitting. As I've said in other places, it's important to let Francis be Francis, to let the Pope speak to us himself and to hear what he really has to say and allow that allow his teaching to both challenge and inspire us.
Wonderful. And given the time you've been able to spend with the document so far, what's been jumping out at you? What are the sort of the points that have struck you as most significant so far?
Yeah, points I shared with the when we had our gathering at St. Peter's really are sort of taken from the subtitle of the encyclical. So the subtitle is on fraternity and social friendship. So those two themes really help us understand and be drawn into what the Pope is offering. He addresses a number of the challenges that we face in the world today, trying to see each other as brothers and sisters and live that way. But he sort of frames them with those two themes. And early in the encyclical, he reminds us of the parable of the Good Samaritan, the teaching of Jesus in response to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus gives this beautiful and powerful parable, and the Pope holds that up for us again, and it invites us to find ourselves in that parable. So it begins with the poor man already beat up, lying on the side of the road. So a couple of those who would have been well respected in the community, one by one, pass by. We don't know what was on their mind, where they were headed, what their responsibilities were. We don't know whether they noticed him very much or not. But then along comes somebody who, the audience of Jesus, when he first spoke the parable, they wouldn't have expected this person to be much of any good to anybody, a Samaritan. But he, the Samaritan, noticed the man and stopped and extended himself for his care, this one who was lying injured on the side of the road. So the Holy Father holds up that parable where it's easy for us to be drawn into it, and so he asks in his own way, are you one of the people that's going by, or are you stopping? That's kind of that simple in his mind, going by or stopping for whom? Well, those who very near to us, separated from us by some distance too, perhaps, but those that the Holy Father has noticed and invites us to notice, who are wounded, who are within our sphere of activity and influence and notice day by day, if we will notice. Wonderful. So from there, he kind of draws out these two themes of fraternity and social friendship, which he develops, you know, throughout the encyclical.
It's beautiful. The in our own country, the need for looking again at the bonds of friendship, the bonds that, you know, hold a society per se together, I think is obvious. I think the need is obvious to some degree. But one of the things I think you mentioned, if I recall correctly, the other night, that he wasn't presenting a sort of banal tolerance as the sort of image of what we want society to be, or what we want.
Yeah, why don't we all just get along?
Right, exactly. Yeah, sort of a lowest common denominator approach to.
Yeah, or that the differences don't make any difference.
Sure,
to be redundant.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So could you speak into that a little bit? Just what's the alternative to that sort of? Oh, we'll just kind of institutionalize indifference and let everybody just kind of be.
Well, sure. Not surprisingly, because he's the Pope and he's sharing from the heart of Catholic teaching about the challenges that we face of divisions and hurt in society. Some of those happen to us. Some we inflict deliberately on one another or on ourselves. He's not advocating simply for a nicer world, and for a place where we just get along, so we'd stay out of each other's way and peace that means not clobbering each other or criticizing each other. It's not enough. He reminds us that the central truth of the encyclical and the truth that he wants us to see again and to accept is that each person created in the image and likeness of God has therefore a transcendent dignity. Our dignity results not from who we are or what we know or what we've earned or what we can accomplish or how much power we have, but it's given to us by God. That's a dignity that's imprinted in us by the Creator, and we're to notice that in each other. So it's more than just staying out of each other's way, but the Holy Father's inviting us, it's a command really, that comes from our faith, to appreciate each other and to appreciate the dignity in those around us, whether they seem to be very compatible with me or whether they're very different or whether they're criticizing me or I feel moved to criticize them. The Pope says that's not the first truth. And the truth comes from God. It's God's plan. It's God's design for us individually, but for us as the family, brothers and sisters.
So families fight sometimes, right?
Right. So the
right. But I mean, there are arguments.
And you get the sense, in other times when the Holy Father talks about his, his life and his experience, that he's been at odds with people and can get pretty riled up about things.
Sure.
Himself. So, he's very, again, it's not a coming from a sort of a bland piety, that we just all be nice and sweet to each other. He clearly understands the challenges that we're up against. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he knows and wants us to know we can't be satisfied with that and think, well, this is the best we can do. They'll just be these divisions and
yeah.
We'll just have whether it's in politics or within the nuclear family or within mm-hmm. our extended family mm-hmm. or among races or among cultural groups or language groups mm-hmm. that we settle for a lack of respect and settle for divisions that actually encourage or foment violence against the other.
Yeah, it was really striking at that that gathering that, as you mentioned, the people from various language or cultural groups that came together in the same space, under the same roof, for the same purpose. And it's clear they may not have all had a 100% agreement in viewpoint on everything, every social issue you may catalog that's a point of contention today. But there was a place. There was a place for meeting. There was a place for prayer together and dialogue. And I think that was really beautifully underscored in your homily, but also Father Rodney from St. Mary Magdalene pointed that out. This was, you know, this was part of the dialogue, or you said this too, right? The dialogue of the two choirs in the Liturgy of the Hours. There's a listening and there's a speaking, and we're both taking up the words of the Lord and sharing them one with the other. And then in the dialogue that followed and the witnesses that we listened to, we're listening and someone's speaking, and each of them in turn was listening to the other people speak. Again, it's a simple thing. It's one evening, but it strikes me as emblematic of the vocation of the church at this time, when it seems like so much is readily at hand. So people are readily distancing from one another more and more, you know, the retreating into the camps, the algorithms of social media. This is you know, not news. Everybody who's paying attention to how social media is designed knows this. They tend to reinforce this kind of behavior. I'm going to unfollow this person and this person and this mm-hmm. person. Saw a t-shirt the other day that said, unfollow the world, which almost seemed like a gospel imperative, but I'll leave that aside. But there's a lot in the cultural discourse today that seems to reinforce simply retreating further and further. And it's not clean, but, you know, in the sense of being tidy, it's not always quote unquote safe to engage in the dialogue. But I mean, if we in the church don't, I don't know that somebody else is going to come in and take up that call.
And I think the Holy Father's telling us we really don't have a choice. If we are disciples of Jesus Christ, then we take his teaching and his example seriously. And, you know, we take that his life as a pattern for our own life, and we take from the power of his death and resurrection the strength to commit ourselves to it and believe that we can become more perfectly conformed to Jesus. We can't be absolutely perfect, but I think the Pope would want us to think, each of us, I can do better. I can do better at this in the place where I have an influence. So I can't change the whole world, and neither can you. The divisions that are being experienced around the world and across the world, we do experience them in our own society these days. You know, you hear in so many, it's either family gatherings or even groups of old friends. You know, we can't talk about politics. We can't talk about this, that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you know what that means. What do we talk about? But in this concept of, as the Pope introduces the concept of social friendship, he's inviting us, as the parable encourages, first notice the person who's wounded nearby, and then be open to entering into a relationship that allows that person to be himself or herself, and where I'm myself. So again, it's not a bland, just all blending together or thinking the differences aren't different or they're not challenging. But an important part of that entering into relationship with others is listening and to allow another person to share his own experiences, to share his or her own perspective, to let that person talk about their dreams, their hopes, their fears, to be able to listen as we did at this gathering, to someone from another race talk about their experience of being hurt or afraid or discriminated against because of the way they look or the accent with which they speak. That's happening. It's happening to real people, and it's still happening today. You know, it's part of the history of human relations, unfortunately, sadly, but it is happening today. So for me, think about how I would deal with a really good lifelong friend of mine. If that person wanted to just sort of open his or her heart and tell me some important things about themselves, something they had experienced, a hurt that they had experienced, maybe from a long time ago, maybe recently, or what they were hoping about for the future, to imagine that I could listen and receive that and not feel like I had to correct the person or tell them what they should have done right off the bat, or condemn them worse, you know, for what they're sharing. But be able to see in front of me a brother or sister in the Lord, a neighbor, someone created in the image and likeness of God. That takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. You know, the simple tolerance is easier. But the Holy Father's calling us beyond that to really create the bonds of social friendship within the human family. Again, we can do that in sort of perhaps a romantic way, thinking of people halfway across the world that we don't have to deal with day by day. But there are those in our own neighborhoods, in our communities, certainly in our own cities and towns, from whom it's easy enough to be estranged, against whom it's easy enough to pass a judgment. That makes me think that that person is other than me in a way that really means less, that they're less than I am, which violates this truth that they have a transcendent dignity that God has given them and that I don't assign to them, and that doesn't depend on other social criteria.
Yeah, the word that comes to mind is reverence. The things of God demand reverence from those who would love him. And that is the opposite of violence or utility. Yeah, and it's much deeper, I find, in my life than mere tolerance. Mm-hmm. Tolerance is something that's how you treat something that's painful or annoying. You tolerate it. But a person is to be respected and reverenced, not merely tolerated.
And particularly where someone is hurting. I think that's why the Holy Father chooses the parable. There's somebody on this there that's been injured. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a fact. And the person's hurting, and you know, there's no sense saying, "Well, you shouldn't have been walking down that road, or you should have been more careful, or whatever." That they're hurting, he's hurting. There are those close to us who are expressing these days in a variety of ways that they're in pain, and sometimes they're doing that directly, recognizing what it is. Maybe it's the effects of racism or some other kind of discrimination or abuse, worse. But maybe it's just in their anger or in what seems to be hateful speech or divisive speech or whatever. I think we might sense some pain, that there's something that's hurt and broken in that person. It's not up to me to fix it, but is it possible for me to come close to that man, woman, and reflect back to them the dignity that they have as a son or daughter of God? Maybe it'll be the first time that that's available to them. Maybe others have tried, but this is the moment when it could really be received, and there can be the beginning of what the Pope calls a social friendship. So we might not ever necessarily be the best of pals, you know, but we have sort of glimpsed each other at this basic level of human dignity, and then there's a bond that's created, and I would say the beginning of trust, that I can be myself in your presence, that you can be yourself in my presence, and neither of us is perfect, but we do in an imperfect way, but in a true way, reflect the imprint of our divine creator.
Beautiful. So we should take this and read it, I think.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's your homework, everybody.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Pick up the encyclical and read it. So reading it is one thing, but really more is to try to take it to heart and at least be open to the what the Holy Father's teaching, even if you can't read the whole thing.
Right.
That we look around where there is hurt and division in our family, in our neighborhood. Look at the person who perhaps is wounded, angry, different, and ask ourselves, who is that person to me? The Holy Father would give us the answer if we're asking that sincerely. That's my brother. That's my sister. It's the title of the encyclical. We're brothers and sisters to each other, and to think about that, pray about that, pray into that, lean into it a little, to accept that truth about the other person. And then having accepted that that's true, then to bend over, to lean over, to walk over, as the Good Samaritan did, and offer offer kindness, offer healing, offer forgiveness, offer encouragement, offer a cup of coffee, offer a meal to someone who with whom I might have very little in common, who I might disagree with politically or socially in some ways, but who has the desire and really the right to know that he or she is recognized by me as having the dignity that God has given them. It's a big responsibility, and it's a big shift, you might say, for many of us. I mean, these days, we think it's pretty good by the end of the day if we've just sort of gotten along and made it through the day. The COVID has introduced a lot of challenges and in some senses has driven us apart, kept us apart, even from the people that we really already care about and know very well and want to be with naturally. So there's that. But then I think we all feel it. There's this turmoil in society. Politics has a lot to do with it. Racism has something to do with it. The increased diversity, cultural language diversity of our communities. It's more complicated. It's harder to navigate that. But we can't let all that be an excuse.
Right.
Or first, being intolerant, it can't be an excuse for that. But then we can't just have an excuse to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This encyclical would remind us of what we hear from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. You know that you know whatever you're doing that gives you the sense that I'm a pretty good fellow and pretty good disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not enough. Again, the Lord loves us where we are. But, you know, so the question comes to him, who is my neighbor? The answer is a lot more people than you think.
Mm-hmm.
How should I act towards my enemy? Well, love your enemy. Pray for your enemy. Really? Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Really. I mean, this is what the Lord is asking of us and inviting of us. If we really want to be his disciples, we can't live up to it perfectly. But that's not the excuse. Say, well, I can't do all that right away. That's not the excuse to keep from taking a step.
Right.
And the first step, again, it's in the parable, and the Pope would ask, the first step is notice. Notice the people near us who are hurting and who maybe are doubting that they have a God-given dignity that need an affirmation of that need somebody to stop in. And be willing to be with them, to think that they're worth and that they're worth being with. I mean, it seems so simple, but that's a big thing, you know. Especially for any of us, if we're hurting, if we're sick or lonely, or just you know carrying some burden. The fact that somebody, I'm out of sorts, you know. The fact that somebody just wants to be with me, even though I'm not on my best behavior, that's a big deal. It's a great gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what the Pope is inviting of us.
Beautiful. Archbishop, thank you for calling our attention to notice what's being offered to us. I think we ought to pray for the grace of attention to receive what's being offered to us now, because as you so rightly said, we're all aware of the problems. And probably at some level of our inadequacy to address them, we rely on him. So this is one way to do that. One concrete way is just to pay attention to what the universal pastor offers us.
Mm-hmm.
That points to the Good Shepherd. we rely on him. We beg him for the grace to be his, you know, to communicate his presence to a world that's suffering. Yeah. And that's anyway. That's I think the prayer that I take away. Is there another you want to close?
I agree with you, and would just add, this is right at the heart of what it means to be a disciple. Jesus is sending us out to have an effect on the people around us, an effect that's animated by the gospel, that's shaped by the gospel, and he's giving us the Holy Spirit to make it possible for us to do that, each in our own way. But we're not being given the gift of faith and not called into a relationship with Jesus to just sit and observe. We can observe first, notice, but then
respond.
Then respond, and that's our mission.
Amen. Archbishop, keep praying for us that we would respond to this mission.
Yes, let's pray for one another.
All right. Thank you for joining us, and thank you, Archbishop, for this time.
Yeah, thanks very much. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice, a podcast of the Archdiocese of Omaha. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast.